Welcome to the University of Illinois Press podcast, The Upside. I'm Mary Warner, the journal's marketing assistant for the press, and today I'm excited to present our podcast highlighting Journal of Finnish Studies, just in time for Finland's Independence Day on December 6th. I'm joined today by the journal's co-editors, Thomas A. Dubois and Anna Mantinen. It's great to have you both here. Could you please introduce yourselves to the listeners and give us a bit about your background?
I'll start. My name is Tom Dubois, and I'm the Hollis Bascom Professor of Scandinavian Studies, Folklore, and Religious Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I'm also really honored to be a foreign member of the Finnish Academy of Science and Letters.
I'm Anne Mäntynen, and I work at the University of Helsinki, Finland, as a professor of nonfiction in the Finnish language department. And my background is in Finnish language studies. And I've also worked in the University of Jyväskylä, University of Tampere, both in Finland, and also in ELTE in Budapest in Hungary. So that's my background, briefly.
Great. Thank you so much again, and welcome to The Upside. For anyone who is unfamiliar with the Journal of Finnish Studies, founded in 1997, is an international scholarly interdisciplinary journal that brings research about Finnish topics to an English language audience. The journal aims to foster a deeper understanding of the rich cultural, historical, social, and political heritage of the lands and people that make up the Republic of Finland today, along with Finland's global impact and relations with other parts of the world, including the wider Nordic region and North America. The journal welcomes research articles that delve into Finnish culture, history, politics, economy, education, arts, literature, linguistics, folklore, migration, and related subjects, and also publishes book reviews of titles relevant to the field of Finnish studies, including works published in Finland. Now that we all know a little bit more about the journal, let's get into some questions. First of all, we want to speak with you both now as part of UIP's celebration of Finland's Independence Day. For any listeners who may not be familiar with Finnish history, can you give us a brief overview of the history behind the holiday?
Finland became independent in 1917. After being first part of the Swedish Empire and then under the Russian regime. Even before that, when Finland was an integral part of Sweden from the Middle Ages, sort of. So it's a quite young state, and independence means a lot in Finland and for Finns. I think that's the brief history.
I'd add that in the U.S., with a lot of Finnish Americans, when they think about the heritage, it often kind of migrates to Christmas and Juhannus, and those days get really celebrated, although there often are also Independence Day events in the United States as well, because it's really an important holiday.
So to all of our Finnish-speaking listeners,
hyvää itsenäisyyspäivää.
Happy Independence Day.
I also want to make sure I mention a past special issue of Journal of Finnish Studies, Volume 21, Issue 1-2, entitled The Making of Finland, the Era of the Grand Duchy, which has a lot of interesting scholarship about the origins of Finnish national identity and Finland's time as part of Russia. It would be a great resource for anyone interested in the topic and is just one of the many great special issues in the Journal of Finnish Studies. Recently, there were two back-to-back themed issues on the topic of multilingual Finland. Could you guys tell us a bit about how those came to be, why they were a good fit for the journal, and what readers could expect out of those special issues?
Those two issues are just wonderful contributions by one of the former co-editors of the journal, Helena Halmari at Sam Houston University, and also the current book editor of the journal, Lotta Wikström at Berkeley. And they're both linguists, and they wanted to do a set of special issues that would really highlight the linguistic diversity of Finland. And that means not just looking at Finnish and Swedish languages, which are, of course, national languages for the country, but also longstanding minority languages and languages of particular communities within Finland, like Sami and Romani, and also the two different signed languages that are used by deaf people and their families in Finland, and then also the languages of more recent arrivals and the languages of neighboring countries that have migrants into Finland, like Russian and Estonian and increasingly Ukrainian. So they really wanted to just give a snapshot of that complexity. And one of the articles is on English as well. So it has a really broad base. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating read for a lot of people. And of course, from the point of view of language studies, as Anna can comment more, that kind of look at Finland's linguistic complexity is really important.
Yes, absolutely. Just like Tom said, I found these special issues highly interesting. They sort of from the outside presents very well the current linguistic situation in Finland, which is very multilingual. And there are many perspectives in that special issue. So I think it's a success, actually. Very, very good issues.
So interesting. Before those issues, never had any idea how many languages there were in Finland. And while we're on the topic of special issues, I'm curious if there are any other standout past special issues that you would like to take a second to highlight. Hard to choose since there are so many, but maybe just one or two that come to mind.
I would maybe mention the 26-2. Was a special issue on Swedish language culture in Finland. And in that one, there's some really great articles about life on Åland, the autonomous Swedish-speaking region in the Baltic, and also just really wonderful ones on the status of Swedish as a literary language, as a cultural language, as a political language. So that's a really cool one. And then we have coming up kind of a repeat of every so often, we have an issue on Kalevala, and we have one coming up in a coming issue. And it's kind of like that generation's take on the Kalevala, the Finnish national epic. And so that's something to look forward to.
Those do sound really fascinating. Moving away from special issues, I also wanted to ask more about the direction of the journal itself. In the description of the journal online, you specifically welcome articles on Finnish migration to and from North America. Can you speak to why you felt this was important to clarify and how migration to and from North America specifically has impacted Finland or Finnish studies as a field?
Well, I can start on it and say that in 1997, when the journal was founded, Börje Vähämäki was the professor at the University of Toronto in Canada. And it was really important to Börje and to the community that he was working on. He was fundraising for the Finnish studies professorship at that university. It was important to signal not just the research that goes on about and in Finland, but also the story of migration to North America, which was huge for Finnish society. There's virtually no one in Finland who doesn't have a relative sometime back who moved to the United States or who moved to Canada or who came back from North America over time. So it had a tremendous effect on Finnish life in all kinds of ways. And the Journal of Finnish Studies being in North America made a lot of sense to have that as an area of research. But migration has been a really big topic in Finland more generally since then. And Anna can speak much better about that than I. But I think that the North American example is a really interesting kind of comparison to the migration that's happening nowadays in Finland.
Yes, I think it's sort of like relevant today. And there are research being done on the US-Finland migration still. For example, I think we have researchers working on those private letters that migrants or Finns who had moved to the US or Canada wrote to their relatives to Finland. And this is sort of like a new kind of data that is now very maybe popular. There will be very interesting results on that. Now, people who couldn't write properly and they still wrote those letters. So that's something I'm looking forward to if we can have those articles in the journal.
Yeah, that would be a great addition to the journal in the future. So in terms of discipline, the Journal of Finnish Studies also has such a broad scope covering history, anthropology, folklore, literature, linguistics, political science, sociology, business, and more. I'm curious if the journal has always been so interdisciplinary since its inaugural issue in 1997, or if it has broadened over time, and if Finnish studies as a field of study has just always been interdisciplinary as well.
Well, I actually don't know the history so well, but it's a bit tricky because I've just started as a co-editor, but it seems to me that the scope may have slightly broadened over time, just like research has. Research on Finnish and Finland and Finnish studies has broadened and become more and more interdisciplinary. And nowadays, researchers in Finland and I think in US also, they cooperate more and more with people from other disciplines. And that can be seen in the publications as well. and I think more in the future even. So it has broadened, I'd say. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think from the context of the United States, if you think about Beria when he started the journal, or Helena at Sam Houston University, or me at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you often are like the one person, one professor of Finnish or Finnish studies at the university. And so any question that comes up, you know, about birth rates in Finland, about the politics of NATO, anything that arises, you get the calls from the newspapers. And so it is something about being that lone voice that shaped the journal in the past. But I think what's exciting now is just to see how many ways we have this international Finnish scholarly input and shaping of the journal, and the scholars using that as a place to publish their work for an international audience.
I think this is the last of the more historical questions, but speaking of the history of the journal, it is also nearing its 30th volume year, which is so exciting. Looking back over the last almost three decades, are there any major milestones, transitions, or landmark moments in the journal's history that stand out to you as particularly impactful to where it is now?
Well, as the historian, as a piece of history, I would say that Börje Vähämäki did just tremendous work with it over years and years. And then there have been various great editors, but I think Helena Halmari and Hanna Snellman were a fantastic team. And that created that notion that there should be a North American-based and a Finland-based co-editor arrangement, because it can really serve the journal in great ways. And they did just wonderful work over time. But I would say that, as I'm talking to University of Illinois Press, but I would say that 2022, the bringing of the journal into the University of Illinois Press was super important for the journal, because suddenly that made all kinds of things possible that had been much more difficult before. It used to be hard to pay for a subscription to the journal with a credit card, because we didn't have the capability of doing that. And nowadays, the journal is so well placed in terms of indexes and in terms of the production of both a digital copy and a hard copy. And the mailing lists are really well done. And authors who want to do an open access version of their article, which is often very, very important in Finland, can arrange that with the press for a really reasonable fee. So there's really wonderful things that came with that move to the University of Illinois Press.
Thank you. I swear we didn't just put that question in there to get feedback, but always nice to hear. But there have also been more recent changes at the journal. Anna, you just recently began your tenure as co-editor of the journal, while Tom, I believe you've been an editor since 2021. How has the experience of working as co-editors been so far? Have there been any particular highlights or challenges?
Well, I'm very excited and very pleased about working with Tom as a co-editor and being a co-editor of the journal. I'm sort of waiting to get really into things. I think one of the most important aims, and maybe challenges, that we have is to modernize the review and editing processes now that we have the technology at the press. And I do have experience on using those. So we are trying to make most of the Scholastica system and help both writers and reviewers in their work, as well as ourselves, I think. But I'm really excited. I'm just waiting to get things rolling. So that's my view.
Yeah, I second that view. And the framework that we have through the press is going to be just great and will help, especially because we have such a huge time difference between where we're at in the world, that being able to communicate and work through that platform is going to make our work much, much easier.
I guess you covered this a little bit, but outside of Scholastica, do you have any goals for the journal under your editorships?
I would say that a goal is to just make this a go-to journal for Finnish scholars. In the Finnish system, when you're doing a project, it's often important to have an international publication, something that reaches a broader audience. And this is a journal where you can write that article and assume a really knowledgeable audience that knows about Finland and is interested in the topic. So a lot of times in an international journal, a writer has to start with, where is Finland? Finland is a small country and so forth and so on. All of that can be just assumed in an article for the Journal of Finnish Studies. And you can kind of start at the base of introducing your topic and your research and your findings, and have that out for readers who speak Finnish, but also for international readers who do not and who are interested in the topic.
Okay, great. Are there any new themes, emerging trends, interdisciplinary work, or other types of articles that you hope to see submitted more often in the future?
I think there are many themes that are sort of like popular in Finland at the moment or trending, and I would like to see some of those in the journal. For example, I think research on reading and literacy, as well as research on Finnish nonfiction, being a professor of nonfiction, they are trends that I would like to see in the submissions, because there are, I think, many projects on reading. So that's something that is interesting. Finland is known to be a country of readers. And I also hope to see more articles submitted by Finnish PhD students. I think that's something we can work on. I'm trying to encourage PhD students to submit in the journal.
Those are both such wonderful areas. And I'm thinking about that notion of reading, because that has such implications for North America, where the reading rate has gone down and down and down and down. And it's a real source of anxiety for a lot of American educators. How do we get people to read again? And understanding, as a society that really has prized reading and encouraged reading and invested in reading as part of the culture, I think that's going to have a lot of relevance for American and broader international scholarly readers as well.
I'm also curious if you have any advice to scholars looking to get their work published in the Journal of Finnish Studies. What makes a submission stand out? And also, especially you highlighted PhD students, if there is any specific advice for them as well, that'd be great to hear.
Well, I just second what Anne said about how we really welcome those PhD student articles into the journal. And I always feel like a lot of times earlier career scholars are really worried about what they're going to get as feedback, and putting their stuff out is something that they maybe are a little bit anxious about. But really, I think that the feedback you get from a journal review is some of the most valuable input you can have on your work possible, because if somebody is taking the time to read your article and to give you feedback and ways to improve and to think about it as a dialogue and as a way in which we help each other do better work over time. And a lot of times an article can come back with a whole bunch of advice and maybe a decision that it can't be published in its current form, but that's great input to have. And then you can work that through and resubmit it either to the same journal or to another one. And it really helps people think through what they want to be saying in their scholarship. And that's what it's all about, is scholarship is a conversation.
Great, thank you. Are there any articles that are going to be published in future issues that you could give readers a preview of?
There's a super cool one coming out in 28.2 by Taina Kinnunen and Päivi Korvajärvi. And they're both feminist scholars, and they're looking at, you know, we talked about the North American migration, but they're talking about very, very recent migrants, high skills migrants to the Silicon Valley, and particularly women. And what happens when a woman who has a career in Finland is part of a married couple comes to Silicon Valley and suddenly discovers a world in which the infrastructure to support dual career couples is much, much, much more limited. And they end up being stay-at-home moms and trying to maintain a professional identity, while also driving kids to and from the long distances that everything has, because you have to drive everywhere in the U.S. instead of taking the bus or riding a bike. And so that transformation and the issues that arise with it, it's just a super fascinating look at these two societies. On a certain level can seem similar, but actually are tremendously different in terms of what they do for the people who are part of them.
Before we wrap up, I'd love to give us some time to discuss your work outside of the journal. You both have contributed so much to the field of Finnish studies. I was wondering if each of you could briefly tell us about one of your publications and tell us maybe a little bit about the process of researching, writing, and publishing it.
This is not actually a research paper, but my next publication will be in English. It's a textbook on discourse analysis written together with Sari Pietikäinen. The writing process, of course, the proposal for first, and the writing process has been time-consuming and taken a couple of years, maybe three, I think. Well, due to, you know, everything, due to other engagements and personal life issues and so on. But the book is now in editing stage, and if all goes well, it will be published in April 26. I'm very proud of this. It will be published by Wiley. So that's my latest.
That's so cool. And textbooks take so much work to plan out. It's just amazing. All of those issues having to do with you're trying to describe a field, but then also guide the reader in ways. So congratulations on that book. That's super exciting.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was thinking that the one that I might mention is also a co-authored work, Kopeli Kok at University of Umeå, and I wrote a book that's called Sami Media and Indigenous Agency in the Arctic North. And it's about the way in which Sami people use produced and also social media to advocate for a Sami agenda, cultural preservation and cultural revitalization in their lives. And it was a wonderful book to do because we got to do a lot of great interviews with different people. And also lift up some super fascinating moments in Sami media history. Like there was a precursor to Facebook called SamiNet, which really had all the features of what eventually becomes Facebook, but about 10 years earlier. And everybody was online in the Sami community much earlier than even at Harvard, where Facebook got started. So it's a super fascinating historical question to understand how an indigenous community in these very technologically advanced countries where Sami people live, including, of course, Finland, have used those technologies to support their culture.
It's very interesting. Congratulations, Tom.
Both of those projects sound fantastic. Congratulations to you both. Before we go, is there any other information you'd like to share with our listeners about the journal?
Maybe Anne can speak to this, but, you know, just encouraging not only authors to send us articles, but also proposals for special issues like the ones we've had. We're always open to those. And Anne, you want to say anything on that?
I just second you, but I think also book reviews. We'd welcome book reviews on any publications that deal with Finland or Finnish issues or Sami language or Swedish, I think. Waiting to have more submissions.
Hopefully more people submit those and we get to see more interesting special issues from the journal in the future. And I think that that's wrapping everything up. So thank you both so much for joining the podcast today. We love having the Journal of Finnish Studies at the press, and it's so great to talk to you both. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in to learn more about the Journal of Finnish Studies. To find out more about the journal, please visit go.illinois.edu/JFS and consider writing to your librarian to recommend that they subscribe as well. For further reading, the University of Illinois Press is also the publisher of other European studies journals, such as Diasporic Italy, Italian Americana, Italica, Polish American Studies, and the Polish Review. We have also recently published the book Hidden Histories of Unauthorized Migrations from Europe to the United States, edited by Danielle Battisti and S. Deborah King. That might be of interest. You can view all of these and more at press.uillinois.edu. Thank you.